turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're back in the great book of Romans as we're making our way and studying through that. We'll be looking at today Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Romans 8, 28 through 30. The title of this, Secure in Sovereignty. Secure in Sovereignty. I want you to think about, if I ask you this question, is God sovereign? What would your answer be? You said, well, let's flesh out what sovereign means. Is he in control of everything? Does he, everything that goes on, does he control it? Does he know everything that's happened in the past, everything that's going to happen in the future? Is that the God that you serve? He's sovereign. And so I want us to think, as we've been learning in Romans chapter 8, about the security of believers, finding our security in Him and that we can trust. Paul started out in the first verse of chapter 8 saying there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, I understand this morning there's probably some people here that believe you can fall from grace, that you can lose your salvation. And I'm not going to throw down on that or make fun or whatever. I'm going to say that I hope that through the Scriptures today, through this teaching of God's Word, that you can see that you can be eternally secure in Christ Jesus. You do not have to worry about losing something that you did not do anything to gain. I want us to think about that this morning. Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30. Let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30. The Word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Father, for a few moments, I pray in Jesus' name that you will just reveal yourself through your word, that maybe somebody has struggled with this idea of eternal security, that they can lay it to rest today because of the promises of your word. Be glorified in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Listen, any military man knows that they fight their best when they're on the offensive, when they're making leeway, when they're pressing forward. And usually, you think about an army that's either on the defense or trying to hold its ground, the morale often is lowered. And many times, listen, when the opposing army realizes that this army is getting ready to break or that it's running or it's just trying to hold its ground, that there's something within that offensive army that raises up and they want to press forward, and you'll see great acts of heroism out of people, men that understand and willing to give it all when they realize that the victory is so close. And so I want us to think about in our spiritual life, many times if we're not careful, we're just on the defensive. We're just trying to hold ground. And I want you to know in Christ that we can have a surety of victory this morning. All of us like victory, right? And through the surety of God's Word, we're going to see that we have victory in Him. And when we got into Romans 7 and 8, Paul is talking to us and talking about how the Christians spiritually suffer. There's spiritual suffering in our life. How many of us would say amen to that? We can all say amen. We all have different suffering. Thank you, Susan. I finally got an amen back there out of the shawls. Yeah, well, that's a hidden joke, okay? You're supposed to throw Gatorade on me, but listen, I should have said, I'm not the hero here. Jesus is. Okay, if you're going to throw Gatorade, throw it on Him. Woo! That's a good one. I'm so sorry. You have to look up on Facebook to see what we're talking about. Look, suffering and struggle, but sin and life. Here's the deal. When we take the gospel to the world, when we go out and we live for Christ, it's not always a bed of roses, is it? It's not always this gravy train and everything. There's suffering. There's things that we run into in our spiritual life. In fact, we've all noticed, if we'll all be honest, when we really get close to God, when we start growing, Satan does his greatest work and he starts attacking us even more. Does anybody understand that? Can anybody say amen to that? He starts attacking us. And so we see that these spiritual struggles, and it's a way of him as a child of God to get our focus off where he's taking us. And so I want us to think about, as we get into Romans, we know Romans 8:28 is probably one of the most, if I asked anybody that's one of my favorite verses. There'd be many hands that go up, that the Lord works all things for good. That brings comfort to us, and we're going to see it so much deeper. There's a foundational teaching for us as Christians in that verse alone. And I want us to think about, he wants God's people to know that he has a perfect plan that cannot and will not fail. Listen to that this morning. God has a perfect plan that cannot and will not fail. So we have victory this morning, whether we realize it or not. We are victorious as the children of God. And so don't ever feel like you're defeated when you are a child of God. Yes, the battle can get rough. And yes, suffering can come. But if we understand that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every child that's sitting here, whether we can scratch our head and ever see it, we can trust in the promises that he says that he's working it out. We'll see that. And so we can be secure in his sovereignty. We can be secure in that. And let's look at three truths at being secure in his sovereignty this morning. First, living under God's sovereignty exalts him. Look at verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to know this, again, one of the best known scriptures in the Bible. And every age, every believer from all over different places can rest their minds in this verse. You remember when I told you that the Puritans said that God's providence is a soft pillow? It ties right into this verse. That we can rest our lives on the pillow of God's providence. Do you know that it did not take him by surprise that you were going to be at South Fork Baptist Church in downtown Todd today, 2017? Did not. In eternity past. That's what kind of blows our mind, and we'll flesh that out a little more as we get into Scripture. But he knows. Eternal security has always been debated. It's always had people on different sides of the camps. Many different subjects, many different beliefs, but there are many that believe that you can lose your salvation. And so there might be, and I want you to understand I understand that some of the teaching and the way that we grow up and these kind of things that be taught, but when I study out the Word of God, I want you to know there's security in the Scriptures, not my belief, not what Preacher Dave says. We always go back, thus says the Word of God, and hopefully today you can lay that wrestling down. Why do we have so many that wrestle with that, by the way? We're just going to throw this in. It's our cultural Christianity of the day. Everybody's saved here. Well, you can walk up the street right now, every person that's at home watching SpongeBob SquarePants will say, I love Jesus. I'm serious. Everybody, cultural Christianity of our day, everybody just live any old way you want to. Just as long as we're saved, we got our get out of hell free card. It doesn't matter how I live because of that sin. People say, well, there's something wrong there. Their life is not meshing up with God's Word. You're exactly right. When your life does not mesh up with this Word, how can you say you are a child of God? Does that mean that we don't stumble and fall? I'm not saying that. There is such a thing as being backslid, but I'm going to tell you, a child of God will not live that way. And if you can live that way, contrary to God's Word, and you're never convicted and you never change, you never were His child. Bottom line. But when we are His child, you know what He does? He whoops us and teaches us and brings us back and pulls us back to Himself. And so I want us to see this morning some couple things out of this verse 28. And first is that we can, how we can exalt him through living under his sovereignty. First is living with certainty. What does those first three words say? And we guess? We think so? It says, and we know. No, this volitional, three simple words that express this Christian's absolute certainty of eternal security. In the Holy Spirit. Paul's, it's not his intuition or his opinion, but he's saying the truth of God's Word is that we can know. And we know. We can know simply by taking God at His Word. We exalt Him when we live in certainty. Certainty of what? God has it all under control, and He says that we're His children. And that's going to keep pointing, as we're going to see, to a purpose, the end results of these verses. We can live with certainty. Not only that, but live with security. We all like security, right? I'm not talking about CPI, intruder alert. I'm not talking about that kind of security. We want security. We all do. We might have boss. We might have place. We might have jars out in the yard. I don't know. But we want security. We can have security, the greatest security in God's Word this morning, especially with the most important thing, and that's our eternal security, and knowing that we have Christ in our life. And so we're living with security. It says, what can we know? That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What can we know? We can know that everything we go through. You say, Pastor Dave, do you know my life? Do you know what I'm going through right now? I do not, but God does. You know what He's saying? If you love Him and you're His child, He's working those things, whether you can ever see it or not. He's working those things out for an eternal purpose, and we'll see that in just a minute. The extent of a believer's security is as limitless as our certainty. God causes everything in their life to become a blessing. Everything. He does not keep them from experiencing things that can harm them. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what I call a gravy grace and gospel lace message where we think that if everything we're living for the Lord, then He owes us this. Lord, look, I paid my tithe. I went to church. I've been pretty good. I didn't lie. I didn't say too many cuss words this week. I'm serious. That's how we think if we're not careful. And so I'm going to lay this down, and so the Lord owes us. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these things that experiencing that we go through harm, we go through suffering, we go through some hard times. I know some of you have went through some real times of struggle and suffering. And yet, through those times of suffering, I don't know about you. There's some things I look back over our life, me and Sandy's life, and we've had the privilege of being married for a long time and raised kids and all these things, and we've seen a lot of things that have happened in our life and some rough things, some hard things. But it was in those rough times, the storms in our life, that God was so real, and He solidified our marriage even that much more in our love for Christ and our love for Him. And you know what? I would say, I wouldn't want to go through it again, okay? Don't get me wrong, but I'm so glad for what He taught me through those things that I could not have learned another way. That's God, and that's what this Scripture is telling us, that He ultimately is taking the mess, I like to say, He likes to take garbage pile and make it a masterpiece. That's what He does best. When somebody can say, you know what, I can't, but who? He can. God made everything. It's His. He owns it. He governs all things. Think about and He stays personally involved. I talked about Wednesday night. He's not a deist. The deists believe that, I believe in God, but He just wound it up like a watch and turned it loose, or a clock. He's not intimately involved with His creation. He just started it, and so He just lets it go wherever. Boobish. That's wrong thinking. Gerp. Thinking about Dr. Carson. He'd say it all the time. Listen, a blind black professor at Southeastern. Loved the Lord. Wow. But seeing he could take his life and say, I'm blind. He never heard him complain. He always pointed to Christ and the glory. And it is well with my soul, man. When he sang that, you're talking about bringing down the house, wasn't you, Lee? It is well with my soul. Listen, is it well with your soul this morning? What are you facing? What are you going through? Do you realize that God's taking this? It's not randomness. Listen, quantum physics says that there's all these electrons out here floating around, and they're random. Guess what? Wrong answer. Nothing random. God's in control of electrons. He's in control of every atom. He's in control of every leaf on these trees. There ain't many here now, right? But everyone that'll pop out in the spring, He's in control. Every drop of water is running through Elk Creek and through the North Fork of the New River. Every drop of water in the ocean, He is in control of. He's God. He owns it all. How can God change everything even our choices and make it a blessing. Listen, there's no random, no dice throwing. That's why I have the hand with the dice. It's not about gambling. This randomness, and we just gamble with life. It's not a Forrest Gump theology. You say, what are you talking about? Well, like Mama said, life is like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get out. I think, and most of us believe that. Listen, we might not know what chocolate we're going to get out, but God does. He even knows them little coconut ones you're trying to stay away from, okay? We take a Forrest Gump theology. And we just think it. We're just floating around like a whim. I don't know if Lieutenant Dan had it right or we're just floating around like a whim. Or we do have a destiny. You better believe that God's in control of your purpose and plan, and He has an order in your life, and it's not a randomness. It's not a gamble. It's God that's in control of everything. And He's working it out for His glory and for your good. He says, who love God? Who are those that love God? The called, He says. He calls them. You know who are those that love God? Those that are obedient to His Word. That live out the promises of God. Yes, it takes some hits. Not always with a Cheshire smile. But understand that, listen, we have joy in the Lord whether there's a smile on our face, regardless what comes our way. Why? He's in control. To those that love God, who are the called? He's in control of it all. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You say, wait a minute. Oh, you can roll with dice all you want to. The Scripture says, God's in control of everything. Do you understand that this morning? You really grasp that? It's very easy to say, yes, I do. Pray, amen, preacher. You let the hard times come, though, and that really is when it shakes us and we see. Do we really believe God's in control? I want to tell you, He's in control no matter what you're facing today. No matter what your life looks like. He's in control, and you know if you love God, He's working that for good, for His glory, and we'll see that. So, He says that the recipients of eternal security are those who are called. We'll hear some words and we'll talk about them. And it's not just our love, but it originates with God's love for us. So does our calling into the heavenly family. He makes this, if you remember, Matthew 22:14, where it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Listen, God puts the gospel message out, and He tells us to take the gospel out in the world. But the truth is, not everybody's going to receive it, is it? If everybody truly received it, this place would be so packed right here in Todd, North Carolina, that you'd have to get chairs out to sit everybody. Many are called. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 6:44. All believers have been called to God. I want you to know something. God does it. We think that, did you go looking for God? God went looking for you. A great example of that is Paul, the very one that wrote this Romans. You remember what he was doing on the road to Damascus there in Acts, when it talks about Acts 9, when it talks about his conversion? What was he doing? He was persecuting the church. He was killing church members. Was he looking for Jesus? No. But what happened? God struck him down. Paul wasn't looking for Christ, but Christ was looking for him. Knocked him right off the horse. Who are thou? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. God goes looking. He found and looks for each and every one of us. We cannot take any credit for anything. In fact, He's the one that initiates it all. His love for us. God has to draw us to Him, is what the Scriptures there in John 6:44 says. According to His purpose, He has a purpose and a plan. But here Paul is narrowing that purpose and plan down in the next two verses. Because I want you to see, living under God's sovereignty, yes, I'm going to tell you, it exalts Him, but also it benefits His children. Look at verse 29. Look, I'm getting excited. There ain't 39 verses in Romans 8. I should have said that, see if you're paying attention. Living under God's sovereignty benefits His children. What does it say? For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here is a, here, listen, Here is the good he has in mind for us. What is that purpose? His determined purpose is what? He created his world to bring him glory. His children rebelled against him. You know what he could? He could have started all over, couldn't he? But he had a plan and he had a purpose. That his love and his grace is more powerful than any evil. Do you believe that this morning? It doesn't matter how evil the world gets. His grace and his power and his love is more powerful than it could ever be. Paul will reveal an unbroken pattern and purpose of God here in these verses. And he goes from sovereign redemption, from foreknowledge to the completion and glorification in verse 30. It's the clearest teaching in all Scripture about those that were worried about losing their salvation. I want you to see these verses and listen to what it says. And there's a pattern. Look at the pattern. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. There's a big word, foreknowledge. I want you to think, and there's a good example in Jeremiah 1:5, foreknowledge. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's the God. He knew you. You say, wait a minute. He messed up on this. Listen, there's no mistakes here today. He knew you before you were ever born. That's mind-blowing. We cannot grasp the magnitude of that. His foreknowledge. God is not limited to time and space. You hear me talk about this all the time. We're limited, time and space. But he sees it. Look, he sees it from beginning to end. I mean, that blows our mind. Why? We can't grasp that, the magnitude of our God. Beginning to end. He has this foreknowledge and understanding, and he sees start to finish. Ephesians 1:4 says, not just Jeremiah did he know, but look what he said. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. So not just Jeremiah, but also Ephesians, that he foreknew us as well. This is why we cannot lose what we did not earn. God's been in control from the beginning to the end. He's going to complete that which he started. I want you to think about, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's grace and faith. And those are both gifts, by the way. You say, well, it's my faith. Well, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, that's his. He gave both of those to us. Faith, grace, and faith. That we could respond to him. He also, and these words predetermined. I want you to know, a lot of pastors won't even touch on these verses. Why? They don't preach through the books. This keeps you preaching the whole counsel of God. Foreknowledge, predestination, all these things that we want to scratch our heads and say, we can't understand it. It's in the Word of God. We can understand it. And we can grasp it this morning. When he says, listen, when he gets this idea of, as he goes on and he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, John 10:14. And foreknew or foreknowledge is a compound word that carries the idea of a special intimacy. God knows us. Does that scare you? Does anybody truly know us? He does. He knows us even better than our mates, our family. He knows us. He has an intimate relationship when we're his child. He knows us. In fact, if you remember when we preached through the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:23, where it says, hey, he said, then I declared to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers or practices of lawlessness. The problem was, he didn't know them. He knows his children. He also, it says, predestined. It means to mark out, to appoint. The Lord has predetermined the destiny of every person who will believe in him. Now, we have a hard time grasping that. That's our God. If we understand he's in control, he knows all things from start to finish, we can grasp that. He knows your life. He knows your choices. He knows what you're going to do. You know what that tells me more than anything? He loves me. Oh my goodness. He loves me. Why? He knew me before I knew Christ. He knew me when I came to know Christ. He knows me today on my way to see Christ. And he'll know me when I step into his presence. and these big words are just pointing out and making us try to grasp out. He appoints the destiny of every person just like Jesus. Listen, Jesus' crucifixion. Revelation says the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. What? You mean before the earth was ever created, Christ was slain in the mind of God? That's love. Oh my goodness. For God so loved the world that Donnie read today that He gave it before He ever created it. That's the God. That's the foundational belief that we understand that this crucifixion of God, it wasn't plan B. Well, listen, man messed up, so we got to do something different. No. God knew that we were going to mess up before He ever created it. He said, well, why did He do it? Love. Love. And for one purpose that we're going to see that we could be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His purpose. It's because we see that next in purpose. He had a pattern, but He has a purpose. To be conformed to the image of His Son that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God causes all things to work together to good for the purpose of believers to look like Christ. All true believers are moving forward towards a Christ-likeness. We're growing in that grace and knowledge. Bringing sinners to salvation is to glorify Christ. To bring glory to Him. And so that we might, what it says, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren, that He might. And here's the deal. It wasn't that Christ was created. He's been forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's always been, but there was a time that He stepped into our space. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God steps in to our time and space for a purpose. What? To fix the mess that we started, okay? Adam, what Adam couldn't do, the first Adam couldn't do, the second Adam came to fulfill. Why? That we could have this promise, this purpose, this hope in our life today. He wants us to make us more into Him, His image. He is the preeminent one, the firstborn. And that had a privilege in that culture, the firstborn. They received the double portion of the inheritance. And so what He's saying, you know what? Christ came as God on this earth. He gave His life on a cross for us. He gave His life. You say, how terrible. The most wicked thing that men could do to kill an innocent man, to kill God. But yes, it was in God's plan and His purpose. In fact, the Scripture says in Isaiah that it pleased God to wound Him. How? Because He saw the bigger picture. He saw that many sons would be brought to glory through His Son dying on that cross. The crucifixion points us, and it makes us to see that God had a plan and He has a preeminence among the children. His crucifixion means our salvation. It means He gives us hope, and He has a purpose and a plan. Listen, I want you to know that living under God's sovereignty exalts Him. And living under God's sovereignty benefits His children. But lastly, living under God's sovereignty brings assurance, verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. We see one person called the golden chain of salvation here. And no links can be broken. His eternal plan intersects our lives here in time and space. Those who are called are those who the hearts and Holy Spirit work to lead them to a saving faith in Christ. This is that inward call that we've all received as children of God. From beginning to the end, our salvation is God's work. We cannot humanly undo what He has divinely done. This is the basis of our security. You see what He says there in those verses? Listen, moreover, whom He predestined, these He called. Whom He called, these He justified. We see that progression. We see those that have been called have this justification. We learn all about justification in Romans. That simple verse, just as if I'd never sinned, I stand uncondemned before God because of what Christ has done. This ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. So personal sanctification is working out what I am positionally in Christ daily, living it out. And he says, whom he justified, these he also glorified. So we see this golden chain of salvation that he's working out. If a person goes to hell, I want you to understand, listen to this, it's because he rejects God and his way of salvation. No other reason. Because he said he wishes all to come into repentance. What 1 Peter says, he wishes none to perish, but all to come into repentance. What does all mean? All means all, that's all means. Okay? So we see this effectual call that goes out to everyone, but we see there's only a few that receive it. And then he goes on to say, whom he called, these he also justified. And that justification in Christ, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Please don't miss the past tense, glorified. Have we been glorified yet? Not yet. In God's eyes, though, we have, Lee. Think about that. That's that understanding. In God's eyes, he sees the finished product. Praise God, I'm glad, because I'm just like them little kids. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. What else? And the moon and Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me, but you know what? I've got a clear path because of the bloodstained banner that he laid out on the cross. And I'm headed to a certain place. It's called heaven. And one day when we step into the portals of glory, we'll be glorified with his glory, not our own. His glory will radiate through us. The finished product of what Paul's getting out. Glorified is past. It's a done deal. Those that receive salvation in Jesus Christ receive eternal glory. Listen, that's God's guarantee. That's not man's opinion. That's God's promise. You can't lose it. He's going to finish what he started. It's sad when people think that you can lose your salvation, because I'm going to tell you, if I believe that way, and you've heard me say this, who determines the dividing line? Who determines what sin separates me from God? All I would get done, that thought pops in my mind, or my wrong motives. You want to get the motives, that thing that we like to toss around and we really don't know why we do. What causes me to be lost? All I would get done is, God, forgive me. I don't know about you, but it feels like that's what I get done now. But it's not because I'm losing my salvation. It's because I want to be more like Christ. There's a big difference. Big difference. He wants us to live in security, to be assured, consoled, transformed. There's a great story in the Old Testament that illustrates this as we close. You remember the story of Joseph, don't you? Joseph, man, that chosen son of Jacob, right? He's one of the youngest. He had that, what was it, that coat of many colors. Why? He was a favorite son. Mom and Dad, you shouldn't ever have any favorites, by the way. It causes trouble. We see that. Well, we see very early on that Joseph was special. He was a dreamer. Dreamer, you're nothing but a dreamer. I can't help it. Okay, I got to get that out of my head. Listen, he was a dreamer. But God has given him these dreams, and he was laying out his life in front of him. And you know what? It made his brothers what? Hate him. Family that hates you, that's the worst kind of hate. Why? Because, boy, they got it in for you, don't they? They hated him. In fact, Dad sends him out one day to check on the brothers. They see him coming a long way off. Why? He had that coat on. He flung with that coat. He told them about dreams about him bowing down to him. Boy, they just hated him. They said, let's get rid of him. Let's kill him. That's how bad they hated him. What'd they do? They threw him in a cistern there. They're trying to figure out. Some of them saying, we don't want to kill him because that'll bring curses on us. They're not thinking about Joseph. And they say, you see some Ishmaelites coming on their way to Egypt. What do they do? Let's sell him and make a little money, make a little cash. Pull him out, sell their brother into slavery. He goes down to Egypt. Now, think about Joseph. What's he done? All he's done is told what God's done in his life. He didn't tell his dad to be his favorite, did he? What's he done? So he's kind of innocent, right? But all the way, he's on the way down to Egypt with a bunch of slaves shackled. Look. And he goes there and he gets shacked up with old Potiphar, man. Potiphar's a general and he's living for him. And you know what Joseph does? He just serves the Lord right where he puts him. Hello? He wasn't complaining and saying, oh, my brother, let me tell you about what my brother did to me. Let me tell you what, I can't believe it. No, he just served Potiphar. And the scripture says God blessed him because he served Potiphar with his heart unto God. There was a little problem, though, in Potiphar's house, and that was called his wife. Potiphar's wife, she wanted everything. She wanted Joseph, too, sexually. And so he put as much distance as he could between her because day in and day out is what the scripture said. She tried to get him to lay with him. He said, no, I would be doing wrong, not under to Potiphar, but also to God. I can't do such a thing. And he would run. Listen, it's better to have a good run than a bad stand when it comes to adultery, okay, and to God. Better to have a good run than a bad stand. Listen, she one day catches him, nobody's around, and grabs him by his clothes, and he's got to run out of his clothes to get away from her. And you know what she did? She got mad like a woman does. Woman scorn. I'm tired of this guy rejecting me. I must be ugly or something. I mean, seriously, you see the devil working? I'll just tell that he tried to rape me. Tried to have his way. He's had everything else. He tried to have me. Gets thrown into prison. I just wonder how much Potiphar believed it, because if he really believed, he probably would have killed him. He probably knew her. He throws him into prison. Now, when he gets into prison, what's he do? Whoa, it's me, singing the blues. I mean, seriously, you don't see that. You don't see it in Joseph's life. You know what said he did? He just served in prison under the Lord. Just done the work. Whatever came his way. To the prison guard. Said the prison guard didn't even worry about anything going on. Why? Because old Joseph's taking care of it, man. I'm serious. Do you see a life that's milly-mouthing and going on about what's went on? And that's what we'll do constantly. Well, blah, 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 whatever. He don't do that. He serves the Lord right where he's at. A couple old guys. Pharaoh's palace is there, baker and a cupbearer, and they have a dream. And remember, old Joseph, he can interpret dreams. They go to him. He said, God can interpret your dreams. When he always gave God the glory. And he told one of them, the baker, he loses his head, he gets hung, and the cupbearer gets restored. Both of them, exactly the dreams that he said. He told the cupbearer, said, when the Lord restores you, remember me. I'm here, you know. Just remember me being here. Couple years, listen, 2 years of your life. Listen, this man's life has been sectioned off. He's been falsely accused by his brother, falsely accused by Potiphar. He's been in prison, and yet he didn't lose his focus on what God's plan and purpose was for his life. He trusted in God. Before it's over, Pharaoh has a dream about famine that's coming. And the cupbearer said, oh, I remember my mistake. Now, there was a Hebrew down there in the prison that he could interpret dreams. Pharaoh says, go get him. I had to clean him up. I can imagine he probably had a beard down to here. Looked like Duck Dynasty. Gets cleaned up, goes before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells him his dream, and he said, listen, I can't, but God can. Let me tell you. And he gives him the interpretation. And before it's over with, what is he? Second in command over all of Egypt. And there's a famine in the land going to be for 7 years. And that's what the dream said. Joseph prepared. Pharaoh got him up for them 7 years. They lay up. They have a bumper crop. Instead of wasting it, they harvest it, get ready for the famine that comes. He said that God showed him what happened. And then when it comes, before it's over with, there's them brothers down in Egypt. Go get some grain. And what are they doing? Bowing down before him. Did you, hey, what did he say? I told you. Is that not what? That's what we would do. I'm serious. He did not do that. It ends up that everybody moves down to Egypt. The whole family. Jacob gets to see that son that he thought he lost. And they get to live together in harmony there in Goshen, and he takes care of them. And Jacob, then he dies after a few years, and the brothers get scared. You know what they say? Uh-oh, daddy's gone. That means that Joseph's going to kill us now. You know what he said? I love what he said. They were afraid he's going to kill him. He said, Genesis chapter 50, what you intended for evil, God meant for good. He looked at his whole life. He had a lot of mess there. He could have got down on himself and complained and whined and all that. All he did is he took what God fed him, where God put him, and he made it glory unto God. Didn't matter what it was. Where he was able to say, what you meant for evil, God turned into good. I want you to know here this morning, what Satan might be meaning for evil in your life, if you're his child, God can turn it to good. If you keep your focus on bringing him glory, don't whine, complain, but give Him the glory and trust in Him where He has you. And do it unto the Lord. And point people to Christ in the midst of your hardship. Applications, and we'll be done. What are you facing that you need to give to the Lord this morning? What are you facing that you need to give to the Lord this morning? What is it maybe that you've drug around for a long time that it's, you've allowed the Satan to keep you from serving the Lord because of whatever garbage that you just need to kick off and say, forget it. I'm going to be under the Lord whatever I do. I'm tired of dragging this around, dude. What is it? Number two, have you heard His call and turned it away? Maybe you're a lost person here this morning. Say, you know what, I've been saying, I'm gonna do it when I get older, or I need to get these things straight in my life. I need to do these things. And God's come to you, and you know He has, and the Spirit of God spoke to you and said you need to be saved, but you keep turning it away. Listen, it's not required of God to keep dealing with you. And if He's not dealing with you now, He's dealing with you in the past. That's a scary place to be. You need to get saved whenever He pricks your heart. Be saved. Give it to the Lord. And then lastly, do you have eternal security? Are you one of them people that believe I could just fall from grace? I need to. Are you? When the Scripture tells us, man, He's called, He's predestined, He's working for glorification. Nothing can break that. It's God. He's going to work through you to get you there. That does not mean you have a license to sin, live any old way. If you can live that way, you better check up. But He's saying, listen, if you are saved, He's working it all out. And one day we will be with God forever and ever because of what Christ has done, not what you've done or what you haven't done. Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come play. As Linda plays, Jerry sings, listen, what's God said to you? Ain't going to take a lot of time. You need to deal with the Lord. You come forward. Don't worry about what everybody thinks either. You're with family. It's between you and God right now. Close your eyes. I want everybody to close their eyes right now and look in your heart. Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know that He's there and you're a child of God? If not, get saved this morning. Come forward. There's nothing I'd rather do than show you how to come to know Jesus Christ. Are you dealing with something that you need to lay down once and for all? Are you dragging stuff around you need to say, you know what? In Jesus' name, I'm not going to do it any longer. I'm laying it down at God's feet. Do you know that you're secure in Him this morning? You have security. Whatever God says, react in obedience. You understand this? Jesus paid it all to Him. All to Him I owe.
Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
One more verse. Not going to hold long. You're dealing with something you need to deal with. This is the time to do it. Sing it.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, coming forward, the Lord's dealing with you about something. Come see me. Take out the time. Hey, listen, there's nothing that's going on more important than you and your relationship with God than me. That's why I'm here. That's why I love you. So whatever the Lord's doing in your life, just add your purpose to walk out in obedience and in victory this morning in Christ. 5 o'clock this evening, the men will meet, brotherhood, women's meeting, kids choir. Jerry will be coming and going over some of the stuff at Easter. So if you want your kids to be a part of Easter, come and we'll just, listen, have a great day. We're doing 5 o'clock so you don't miss your Super Bowl, okay? I realize that. It's so important to a lot of people. Listen, come out 5 o'clock. Whatever. I love you. Any way that I can help you, please let me know. Lee, end us in prayer. And tickets on the way out. Thank you, brother, for Valentine's banquet.